just want to share something with you that I believe. You know, it's May. It's the time of the year where we are assessing the year that's gone. We have finals in our house with three down, three to go this week. It's that end of the year where you're just trying to fight through till the end when you've got a 15-year-old in your house that's being homeschooled and he's like, I'm done. I'm like, you're not done. You've got three more. And in our lives, there's that reassessment going on. And I want to tell you a story and then I want to get into the Word of God. My father loved mountaineering, climbing, camping, hiking, everything. He was a soldier and he had four girls. And so he decided that we would all love camping as well. And he took us away to the Flinders Ranges. You can Google it. It's the most beautiful circular mountain range in South Australia where we lived. And the highest mountain in that range was St. Mary Peak. Franz is nodding because he knows all about it. Anyway, my dad took us, my older sister who was 10, I was 8, and my baby, the younger one, was 5, and he took us and said, we're going to climb St. Mary Peak. Now, you have to understand something, that is a challenging climb for an adult. Like, most of you may not make it. And yet, he's like, yeah, come on, girls. So we pitch our tent, go to the caravan park, pitch our tent. He wakes us up at 6 o'clock the next morning, says, we're going. And we're all like, yay. We have no idea what's in store. But, you know, Dad always made everything sound exciting. So we went off after him. And it was about a 12-hour hike up the mountain and back down. 6 o'clock in the morning, Dad figured, 6 o'clock at night, we'll be home before it gets dark. No problem. So we head off after Dad. He's carrying the water, rationing the water along the way. That was my dad. And we get up to St. Mary Peak. We made it up. He carried my 5-year-old half the way up there. My five-year-old sister. And we got up the top. The view was incredible. And my dad decides, you know what? We're not going to go down the same way. That would be really boring. We're going to go down the long way through Alligator Gorge and all that kind of thing. And he made it sound like the most obvious decision you could ever make. And so we're like, yay, okay. So we head off. We're climbing down the other side of the mountain. And it seemed to take a little bit longer than my dad had planned for. So he's coming to the end of the journey. Now, my dad has been on this climb probably 5 or 6 times before. He knew the way. It wasn't like he was trying to find the way. It was very, very familiar to him. And he was telling us all the way, here's Proby's grave, and this is a guy that got lost up here and died. I just remember looking at this guy's grave and then looking at my dad like, are we going to get lost? Anyway, he would stop and tell us, and round this corner is the old homestead and blah, blah, blah. And we got really excited. But as we got towards the end of the trip, nightfall started to fall and the weather turned and it started to rain and the clouds came across the moon and we literally couldn't see our hand in front of our face. And my father was very concerned. We had to slow our pace down so that we would not actually accidentally stray off the path. And what had become a very familiar path now turned into a treacherous path. And we got to this place called Sliding Rock, where there's a big rock going down into a creek, and there was normally stepping stones over that. But this time the reeds, there had been heavy rains before and the reeds had grown up and washed over the stepping stone. There was about a meter of water in the creek and we could not get across. And then the heavens opened and it poured and poured and we were sitting shivering, huddling together under this rock going, what are we going to do? My dad was, I could tell, you know, I never got worried unless my dad was worried, and my dad was worried. And so my sister said, Dad, why don't we pray? And he's like, yeah, good idea. And so he prayed, and then he struck a match because he was always, you know, he's one of those survival men. He always had matches, always had. So he struck a match and went off. He goes, stay here. Don't move, like as if we were going to move. So he went off and he found not far up a bridge across the water, and eventually we got home 6 hours late. It was like midnight and we were absolutely exhausted. We were all crying. but my dad tucked us into bed and we made it home safely. The point of what I'm saying is that often our lives mimic that story. We have a plan set out. Yes, it may be challenging, but we think we know we can get there. We've got the destination in mind, but sometimes along the plan and route of our life, a storm comes, something unexpected happens, and the way that we had mapped out that was going to be easy, that was going to be not hard to navigate, that was going to have markers along the way that would help us, suddenly everything goes dark and we find ourselves in what seems to be a treacherous place. Maybe it's in our parenting. We think we have this bundle of joy and we have dreams and hopes for this child and these children that we give birth to. And we're like, oh my goodness. And we have this plan, but somehow, somewhere along the line, there's a storm comes and that plan is taken off track. Maybe it is in our business, in a business area of our lives or the finance area of our lives, we've tracked out a plan and a destination, and then somehow the storms of life seem to knock us off course. It becomes dark. We don't actually know the next step. We don't know which way to go, and we find ourselves in the middle of the storm. It may be a health storm. It may be a relationship storm. It may be a storm that has just somehow subtly come and knocked you off path and you're not sure what to do. And this morning, out of God's word, I read a passage in Acts 27 that I want to read to you. And it's the Apostle Paul is a prisoner on a ship and he is going to Rome. He's going to Italy and there's a destination. But what happens is that a storm comes and the captain of the ship has plotted a destination, but this ship now is just being tossed to and fro on the Adriatic Sea. I want to read it to you. It says, on the 14th night, sometimes storms last longer than we think they should. It was some kind of a storm to last 14 nights. Think about the storm that came through Georgia last night. There was thunder, there was lightning and rain. I got up this morning. Yes, there's a little bit of a mist, but it's pretty much moved on. And sometimes we expect storms to move on, but they stay for longer than we expected. On the 14th night, we were still being carried around in the Adriatic Sea. About midnight, the sailors thought they were close to land. And so they lowered a rope with a weight on it on the end into the water. They found that the water was 120 feet deep. They went a little further and lowered the rope again. It was 90 feet deep. And the sailors were afraid that we would hit the rocks, so they threw four anchors into the water and prayed for daylight to come. How many times have you prayed for daylight to come in your situation and circumstance? Some of the sailors wanted to leave the ship. How many times have we wanted to leave the ship? You know, in my own life, I want to run sometimes. When the storms come, I think I've got this destination, and then all of a sudden, the thing that I was committed to, I suddenly am uncommitted to, because I don't want to stay here any longer because the storm is tossing me to and fro and I want to run. Anybody else run? Tend to run in a storm? I'm one of those people. I can totally. I would have been one of those soldiers lowering the lifeboat. I'm out of here. I'm out of here. So the sailors wanted to leave the ship. They lowered the lifeboat, pretending they were throwing more anchors. You know, when some people ditch out of life, they pretend there's another reason. You know, God spoke to me, and I need to. God, I just need to get into this lifeboat because I can't. There was a sign and God spoke to me and I need to leave. I need to leave this relationship. I need to leave this church. I need to leave this situation, this job, because things are getting too hard and I'm pretending I have a good reason, but really I'm just terrified. Really, I can't stand the pressure. Really, I just want to run. Some of the sailors wanted to leave the ship. They lowered the lifeboat, pretending they were throwing more anchors from the front of the ship. But Paul told the officer and the other soldiers, "If these men do not stay in the ship, your lives cannot be saved." So the soldiers cut the ropes and let the lifeboat fall into the water. The Bible says there were 276 people being tossed backwards and forwards in the bottom of a boat for 2 weeks, 14 days. They had a destination in mind. It was midnight. It was dark. It was a time where they feared for their lives. They'd gone off course, the Bible said, and they did not know which way to go. They feared for the rocks, and it was just a situation where they had to just do some certain things to survive the storm. And I just want to unpack this a little bit because I felt at this time of the year, it's a time of year sometimes where we're like, I'm not going to do another year like the year I just did. I'm making decisions and I'm going to take control of my situation and I'm jumping ship or I'm lowering the lifeboat or I'm doing something. But I felt like God wanted to caution us this morning and say, you know what? If you do the things that they did, you see, they made it to their destination without one life lost, the Bible says. And I feel like just to encourage some of you, God wants you to know that if you will trust Him, if you will do some of the things that are outlined in this story, if you will trust Him, you will make it to your destination. You will make it to your destination with greater faith and trust in God than you have today. The first thing they did was put ropes under the ship. They had ropes and they would take them and put them under the ship and pull them back up the other side, literally to tie the boat together. They would do that several times because in the storm, sometimes the boat would begin to break up. I don't know if you feel like you're falling apart sometimes, but when the storms of life come, sometimes I feel like I'm going to lose my mind. Sometimes I feel like I'm just going to break apart. You know, I'm just like, God, I don't know how much more of this I can handle. I don't know if any of you feel like that. Maybe I'm just preaching to myself this morning, but God wants you to put, thank you, sister. God wants you to put ropes under your ship. What does that mean? I immediately, when I thought about that, thought of 1 Peter 1:13. And it says this, "Therefore gird up the loins of your mind." Now that sounds ridiculous. I've read it in the New King James Version because it actually says it the best way. It means to literally put ropes around your mind, gird up the loins. When they had, in those days, they wore flowy robes to keep them cool in the hot sun. And when they would run or had to do any work or climb or do anything, they would pull their robe up and tie it to their belt somehow and stick it in. What were they doing? They were making it easier for them to be able to run, making it easier for them. And the Bible says we need to do the same with our mind. You see, when we're going through a storm, when darkness falls, when we have an unexpected detour from the course that we had planned, we need to not let our mind go crazy. We need to stop our mind going down a negative path. What if I fail that exam? What if I don't get the job I needed? What if this happens? What if that happens? What if my child ends up doing this? What if this happens? What if my marriage? What if my husband has an affair? What if this doesn't? What if she doesn't forgive me? What? And we just go on and on. What if the market crashes? What if I don't get that deal? What if we foreclose? What if? There's so many things that can go through our mind, and God wants us to take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Pull down strongholds in our mind. During the storm is a great time to learn and work out what strongholds you have, because they'll be there, I promise you. Every time I am under pressure, every single time I have this stronghold that says, you're not good enough, you won't make it, It'll never work out. It works out for everyone else but you. That's a stronghold I have to pull down and say, God, I am going to gird up the loins of my mind. I know that sounds funny, and I'm saying loin far too many times in church. But I've got to gird up my mind. I've got to get into God's word. I've got to say, God, what does your word say? What have you spoken over my life? This is not the truth. It is what I'm feeling and what I'm thinking, but it's not the truth, and I need to bind that thing and keep it in control. We need to keep our minds in control and focus on the truth in God's word, the truth that God says about you, that he's planned your future, that you have a good future, the truth that God says about you, that you are his child, your his son and his daughter, and that he loves you, and that he died for you, and that he cares about the detail of your life, and he wants you to have a hope and a purpose. He wants to give you the desires of your heart. That's the truth in God's word. Put support mechanisms in place. You know, we are so bad. We have to do it personally with our mind, but we also are so bad in the storms and difficulties of life, reaching out to other people. Do you know, in this society, you have been trained never to show your weakness because someone will take your job. Never to show your weakness because there's someone else ready to climb over your shoulders and take your place. And that's not a healthy thing, because God wants in his family for us to say, hey, I'm struggling. Would you stand with me? Would you believe with me the facts in God's word, because my mind is saying something different? Would you stand with me? That is what God's family is for, and that's what we need to do. We need to be able to just reach out and say, hey, I'm struggling. And stay optimistic and strengthen your resolve. I love in Hebrews 12, it says, so take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. God wants us to just say, God, even though I feel this, to not go on our emotions, but go on the fact that God wants us to get to the destination. He's got a good destination for us, and to strengthen ourselves. The second thing they did was lighten the load. It says, we took such a violent battering from the storm, the next day they began to throw cargo overboard. And I began to think about my life, and I thought, you know, my life is like a big vessel. And I've stopped at various ports in my life along the way. And as I've stopped in ports, I've done what the ships Paul was on used to do in those days. They would come into port and there would be traders with cargo on the dock. And they would shout out to the captain, where are you headed? You know, they didn't have timetables and everything. It was just, where are you headed? Where are you going? We're going to Italy. Are you going via Corinth? Yes, we are. Can you take this for us for a certain way? Not a problem. It'll cost you this much. And they would barter, and then they would load the stuff on the ship. You know, you and I, at ports of call in our lives over various years and throughout our history, have taken on cargo that has made us heavier than we should. Than we should be. And you know, you don't notice this cargo. I took on the cargo of grief when my mother died. I took on that cargo and I carried it for 8 years because I did not grieve properly. Because I was too busy, and because I would rather ignore the grief inside of me than deal with it. And I carried that grief, and it made me just sit a little lower in the water. But I could still sail. I could still preach. I could still minister. I could still do everything I needed to do. And so it didn't seem that bad. And then at another port, I took on betrayal as three of my best friends left the church and walked away out of a misunderstanding that was literally not my fault. And I just remember taking on that heavy cargo of betrayal and thinking, God, what is going on? But I took it and I said, God, I've just got to keep moving. And I kept moving but it made me sit a little heavier in the water. And then when storms come, you don't notice the cargo until storms come, because as the waves rise and you're lower in the water, you take on more water. And I really believe that God wants us in the storm time to actually understand and reassess, what cargo have I taken on? What cargo am I carrying that I don't need to carry, that I can, it can make me sit lighter in the water? You see, sometimes I believe that God sends storms. Now, we all think that storms are from the devil and the devil's sending a storm. No, God may be sending a storm into your life to give you greater dependence on Him, to help you understand that you're carrying stuff you should never carry. And if that is if you're struggling with your theology here, Psalm 107 says this: "Some went off to ships in sea, off to sea in ships, plying the trade routes of the world. They too observed the Lord's power in action, His impressive works on the deepest seas. He spoke and the winds rose, stirring up the waves. Their ships were tossed to the heavens and plunged again to the depths. The sailors cringed in terror. They reeled and staggered like drunkards and were at their wits' end. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He calmed the storm to a whisper and stilled the waves." What a blessing that stillness was as He brought them safely into their harbor. Just because you're in a storm does not mean that it's from the devil. Sometimes in the storm, God is showing us the cargo we've taken on that we should not be carrying, that isn't ours, that we've paid a price for, that needs to go overboard and lighten our load. And I believe God wants us to be aware of that and knowledgeable about that. The other thing that they threw off was the ship's tackle. You know, there are times in our life when if we didn't have storms, we would just keep adding, and maybe I'm again just preaching to myself, but we would just keep adding things to our life. You know, like, I'll just add that. Until life becomes crazy, there are no margins, there's no time for anything else, for the things that are really critical, important, because we have got added tackle to our lives to help us steer the ship, efficiency things, and we've added lessons and stuff and all the whole myriad of things that we add to our lives that actually are not necessary for survival. And sometimes in a storm, God wants us to reprioritize our life and think, if I was to die today, what is really important? You just have to talk to somebody who is dying of cancer and talk to them about how their life has changed. They've thrown everything overboard that is not necessary to survival, that is not necessary, that they can't take into the next life, that they've actually drawn close to relationships that matter and thrown out the things that don't matter. And maybe you're in that situation right now and you need to reassess that in your life. The third thing they did, third thing, it says they put down anchors. You know, an anchor is something that stops you moving. It's instinctive. Because when you're in a storm, you want to run. You want to get out of it. You want to turn your boat. You want to go somewhere. I don't know about you, but I'm one of those people that says, as long as I'm doing something, just do something. To just sit and to put my anchor down is the hardest thing I will ever do in a storm, because I want to run. I want to go. I want to jump overboard. I want to get out of the situation. I'm somebody who is a doer. I'm like, I'm just going to find some way out of this myself. But what if God, in the middle of the storm, was saying, will you just put your anchor down deep into me? Because I'm the rock, the foundation. Would you just, instead of trying to work it out yourself instead of trying to go your own way, would you just put your anchor down deep into me, four of them, not just one of them, four of them, to make sure you don't move. Would you just sit and be still in my presence? Would you just consult me for a moment? Would you just, in this storm that you're facing, would you just even consider that I'm in control, that you can trust me to get you into your safe harbor? Would you even consider that I'm the God who can still the storm, who can raise the storm, who can quieten the storm? Would you just consider handing over the control of this ship, your life, to me? Would you just consider trusting me? Would you just do that for me? And I feel like when we do that, the next step, even though it's the craziest thing they did, like, the next step, 276 people for 2 weeks being tossed backwards and forwards in a boat, rolling around, terrified for their lives, wondering if they'll ever see their family and friends again, saying, God, what are you doing? This is storm is lasting so long. It's midnight. It's the worst time. But the fourth thing they did, the Bible says, was to draw close to God. And after Paul said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all, and then he broke it and began to eat. And they were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. What a thing to do. What a thing to do in the middle of a storm. Recognize that Jesus Christ has won. That Jesus Christ died for us, that he's been through the storm ahead of us, that he loves us so much he was willing to give his life, and that he cares about our life, and he cares about the end result. He cares about our destination. He cares about our future. He cares about the deepest desires of our heart. And if we will just put ropes around our boat and control our mind and our thinking and not let it run riot in the dark, if we will throw off and use this time to get rid of unforgiveness, get rid of the weight that we're carrying, get rid of the pain, and actually use this to recognize there's pain there, and God, I need to get rid of it. If we use this time to get rid of unnecessary things in our lives that are cluttering up our lives and stopping us from spending time on the important things, and if we would use this time to put our anchors deep in God and just be still and know that He is God, He is God, He is God. Not a human being, not our boss, not our husband, not our wife, not our children. He is God. And he can do what we ask him to do. And if we would then just draw close to him instead of running away and getting in that lifeboat and trying to do it ourselves. And what I want us to do is just come around a time of communion together, because that's what they did here in the book of Acts. That's what, you know what communion did for them? The Bible says, if you read that story, a lot of them had not eaten for 14 days. You see, in the storms of life, one of the things we neglect is God's word. One of the things, I'm guilty of it just more than anybody else. I'm going to say that. I'm guilty of it just as much, because in the storms of life, there are things you've got to do. There's ropes you've got to tie down. There's things you're racing around, doing this, doing that, doing this. But God says, if you would only just draw close to me, and I neglect to eat, and my spirit's strength weakens, and it makes it harder to ride out the storm, because I don't have any sustaining strength within me. And this morning, I want us to just draw close to God at the end of this year, when maybe next year's uncertain. At the end of this year, when maybe you're weary from the fight, and wanting to just change circumstance, jump ship, whatever it is, maybe at the end of this year, you and I can just draw close to God and take a moment and say, I'm going to be still in your presence. I need you, God, and I'm surrendering myself and this storm and my destination and everything to you. And I'm just going to draw close.